get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition, the last edition.
Finally. I can sleep, nigga. I can sleep, nigga. Get it.
We have made it to the end of the road. It has been 30 episodes, 30 great episodes. That's not including the 6 NBA Finals postgame shows that we did. We have covered this season. This is my first member my first year as a member of the NBA media. I did 20 games this year. I think I did 20 games this year. I could have did more, but there was a lot of weak ass teams coming into the Staples Center that I was like, yeah, they're not worth the Uber fare. But our first full, you know, season doing this. This is actually our second full season since Ball Don't Lie converted to an actual basketball podcast with me and Dante. So another year in the books. I'm gonna pop my imaginary bottle of champagne.
I'm about to say, G, it's like you said, 2 seasons and low key 3 NBA seasons. Them hoes was jammed back together. So
yeah, we started. We converted it. Cheers. I don't have anything to drink right now because I'm on my health as well.
This is definitely rum punch.
I'm on my health as well shit, and my water's all the way over there, and I don't feel like getting it. But
I'm drinking before 8 p.m.
And so we all here to do that. Yeah. So it was like we started this podcast, we converted to fully basketball. And the funny shit about it was when we did the first 2 years of this podcast, we talked about really all sports. It's supposed to be like the original idea. This is going to be like the Sports Center of Barber's Chair Network. And then like every time I want to talk about basketball, my two business partners / friends never want to talk basketball because those are two non-basketball watching ass niggas. And Pierce is my brother. So I was like, we got a fucking podcast called Ball Online. We don't talk about hoops. So I was like, fuck it. We going to make a separate football podcast. We just going to do this. And I hit you up because you was a guest for a couple times. And here we are. Three finals later, 2 full seasons later, and we hear another season of the book. 30 episodes this season. 36 total if you include the live shows. We appreciate each and every one of y'all who has listened, who has watched on Patreon. We appreciate all that. So I'm going to intro the podcast. It's episode 165.
Yes, sir.
Of the podcast. Next year, next season, we will cross 200 episodes. So next season, we will cross 200 episodes, and we are here. You know to follow us on Twitter at Barber Scott, at October's on Tay. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. We got some announcements coming this week about some new shit we got coming out. So look out for that. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Yes, summer sessions. We'll be back this week. Damian, we back in the house. Maybe he'll talk about his hiatus. Maybe he won't. I don't know if the feds are listening. But he will be back this week to talk about that and just talk about some other shit, man. So this is the finale of Ball Don't Lie this week. I will be shooting the finale of I'm Not Gonna Hold You. That will be dropping this week. Check that out. Me and Pavi will be recapping the NBA season also and things like that. Nate, we're going to have a nice little top 10 argument because he had a problem with my top 10 last week. So we're going to talk about that.
Don't tell me you put Steph in it.
Oh, nigga, we finna get in that. And we finna get in that. You already, it's not a matter of if Steph's in my top 10. It's a matter of where.
How high.
Yeah. And that's the perfect segue to this. And I'm going to grab my mic here. I've been waiting a long time to do this. I said when we wrapped up, when we did the game 6 post game show, and these are more collected though. I've had a weekend to think about how proud I am of my guy Steph, the leader, the co-chairman of the LSS, the Light Skin Society. I had a couple people text me and text me and hit me up on IG like, what the fuck is LSS? Damson Idris came over the DSS, which is the Dark Skin Society. I came with the LSS. So it's the chairmans are Steph Curry and my man Aubrey Graham, who dropped another good album, y'all. All y'all niggas saying y'all don't like it, just don't know how to dance. Let's just keep it a buck. Let's just keep it a buck. That's what it is. And I am the president of the LSS. So Steph has been holding it down. So it's a lot of things. A lot of people have been talking. A lot of niggas had to eat their words over this past NBA finals. And what the fuck can you say about my guy right here? So I told Dante before we came on, I was going to say things that might be controversial about what I was going to say today. And Steph, the legacy is cemented. You know, one thing we like to talk about in the NBA is legacy. I feel like well, you can't say that about Jordan, because Jordan, all his shit, nobody questioned Jordan, like, ever. So it's like, well, not ever, but like to the level of like a LeBron or a Steph or things like that is different. Yeah. You know, Kobe can't win without Shaq. And, you know, and even when he won without Shaq, it was, oh, well, he can't beat the Celtics. He never got to beat the Celtics. Only reason they won in 09 is because KG got hurt. So I feel like 29 and 2010 was like, especially 2010 was like, you can't take this away from me. There's nothing else you can say about Kobe. Well, LeBron, even though he won those two in Miami, the one in Cleveland is just more special. Like, that's, you know, you're 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we're going to remember 2016 more than we're going to remember 12 or 13 just because of the moment and him coming back from 3-1. And even though I felt like the series in general was a little overrated, I feel like the story of 3-1 is better than the actual series was. But Game 7 is probably, if not the best basketball game I've ever seen, top five best basketball game I've ever seen. And just his block, the LeBron block to me is a top five most iconic play in NBA history. You know, you got to put it up there. So 2016 was his you can't take nothing from me championship. In 2022 is the Steph Curry's you can't take nothing from me championship. Not only did he dominate, he led it. He had to carry these niggas for a great majority of this series because nobody else fucking playing for a long time. You know, Draymond got better at the end of the series, but he was huffing it up for like three games. You know what I'm saying? Klay was inconsistent, which we expected. He's still coming all the way. And shout out to Klay. I saw all the drunk videos today. This nigga's drinking Hennessy.
He took Shorty out, G.
First of all, this nigga, his championship hat flew off into the Pacific Ocean when he was on a boat heading to the parade. Then he knocked Shorty over. And if I was her, I'd come to work in a fucking neck brace tomorrow. Get some of that max contract. And then this nigga almost lost his championship ring in the fucking crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like him, Steph, and Bob Myers had their rings on. I was laughing. Bob Myers was high-fiving the crowd, but he had his hand up in the air like, you niggas ain't grabbing my shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No. So
I am way too rich for this. Here you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Here you go, commoners.
You peasants will not be touching my championship diamond crusty hand.
Touch my palm, nigga. Like,
right, exactly. Touch my palm. So, you know, shout out to them. But Steph, man, I've never been this happy for a player since Kobe because I just felt like a lot of the criticism, a lot of it was unnecessary. Now, I did say that he needed to win a finals MVP. I'm not finna, even though I do feel it's the most overrated award, but you still need it. All the greats have it. You have to have it to be in there. And so I'm going to say it's not a matter of if Steph Curry is in the top 10. He's in the top 10. My top, like, to me, and, you know, I don't want to spend time, like, ragging on KD because I'm a big KD fan, too, even though Kyrie is Kyrieing it up once again. The NBA season couldn't be over even for a fucking week for Kyrie to start Kyrieing it up again. You know what I'm saying? We'll get into that later, just a little bit. But for me, now I believe KD is a better – we just talking about skill. KD is skillfully better than Steph Curry. But when you're doing these top 10 lists, it's more than just skill. It's resume. And I believe Steph has a better resume than Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant, to me, has to win another championship to get in that top 10. Everybody in the top 10 got at least three rings, at least in my top 10. Everybody got at least three rings. And for those of you who didn't hear, and this rant might be alone. I'm going to give Dante the floor in a minute. But
Go crazy. Long. We got but time, nigga. This is the last episode. Go crazy.
Last episode. I've been keeping a lot of Steph shit in, waiting for this moment. But
no, you have.
The top 10, if you didn't listen to the post-game show, my top 10 in order, Michael Jeffrey Jordan is number one. Then you pause for about 5 hours. Then you get to number two, which is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And if you're over 55 and you tell me Kareem is the GOAT, I will not argue with you. Number three is Mr. LeBron Raymond James. I am not a LeBron James fan, but one thing I am not is blind. This nigga is top three, period. He could be top two. You can argue me top two over Kareem. You have a legit debate about that. Number four. Now, I've been going back and forth like all weekend with this because these next three gentlemen, their resumes are so close and you really can go either way. I'm putting Kobe at four, and the reason I have Kobe over Magic because he has a better finals record than Magic. Yes, Magic went to the finals 9 times, but he's 5-4. Kobe won 7. He was 5-2. Now you can say Kobe had Shaq. Yeah, cool. Magic had maybe one of the most stacked rosters of all in NBA history. Stacked, nigga. So you can manage them things up there together. Now the edge that you can Magic has over him, he has more MVPs. That's two more MVPs than Kobe, but longevity to me, Kobe was better longer than Magic. Now of course all that has to do with Kobe came out of high school. I think Magic did 3 years of college. Was it two or three? I don't remember, but he did college.
Oh, yeah, he went to college. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Some of these things, there's a little.
I'm smack, nigga. I ain't gonna tell you. I don't know.
Yeah, some of these things you need a little context. Context. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we know even with the scoring record, you know, Kobe passed Michael Jordan up. LeBron passed Michael Jordan up. Michael technically played like what 14 seasons, nigga. I hope you would. You played like 5-6 seasons more. Yeah. So I would do Kobe.
What? No. I'm not gonna cut you off.
Oh, okay.
Get it all. Go ahead.
Kobe number four to me. Number five, I'm going Irvin Magic Johnson. Number six, I'm going Timothy Duncan. Number seven, I'm going Wardell Stephen Curry. Number eight, I've got Shaquille O'Neal. Number nine, I've got Larry Legend, Larry Joe Bird. And number 10, I've got Bill Russell. And by the way, the only reason Bill Russell is on my top 10 because 11 championships in any era is fucking OC. I don't give a damn if there was, what, like six teams, nigga. You still got to win. You still got to win.
I'm going to say that's not true, but I'm going to give you that because I like Bill Russell. That's the press. Look, and most of these, that's the only reason I give you that.
Look, but, if you think I'm going to defend Bill Russell, it's not going
to
happen.
But no, G, also, but I'm also one of the people where, like, I feel like the NBA is aged to the point, like you said, you get to 75 years. It's to a point where certain people are just in that icon bracket and you leave them there. Like you take them out of the because the game was so different when Bill, my nigga, for like half his career, they didn't count blocks. So like yes, I can't sit here and tell you all the, right. I can't sit here and say, well, Bill Russell, this, that, and the third, because it's always the ifs. And like we see like every other episode, we don't do what ifs. So and like and I don't want to discredit the man, but he's definitely in there, but
That's the only reason that you can look. I'm not gonna argue. I'm the same with you because to me, I honestly don't give a fuck about anything having an NBA prior to 1980. Because 1980 is officially like it's real. 1980 is 42 years ago, bro. It's almost half a fucking century.
Once they stopped storing coke, that's when they got real serious about the game and the game actually changed. And you know, it was a whole like you said, it's like a more professional. Like I mean, I don't even want to say professional, but like there was a completely the game changed when the game evolved and like
the
so
game
just
has
to
even
hear,
changed
yeah.
even since 98. Like I was watching The Last Dance again and
oh yeah,
I was watching when they're doing NBA finals practice, wasn't no media there. Like the Bulls had like a closed off practice. That don't happen in today's NBA finals. You got media there, you got niggas doing this shit. So yeah, and one of the other reasons I keep Bill Russell with 10 is because who am I put over him? Wilt's a fucking liar, so I'm not putting Wilt over him. Always think about Wilt is you got video and pictures of Dr. King getting hit by a rock, but we ain't got no video of that, 100. Come on, dog. Like, what are we doing? And I'm not putting KD over him, and I'm just not. KD got to win one more. So that's my top.
Bill deserves that.
Bill should be in there. They need to stop rolling this old ass nigga on TV when everybody wins a fucking finals MVP. That shit got to stop. He clearly don't know what planet he on. Let him go and relax, bro. Let him be old. But that's my top 10. And what I want to say is about Steph is this is what people need to understand. He can go higher. And this is my controversial statement. He's at 7. But if he wins one more championship, one more finals MVP, it's getting hot in the kitchen for Duncan, Magic, and Kobe. I'm not saying he's passing them three, but if he wins another ring, another finals MVP, it's getting hot in the kitchen, and we're going to have to sit down and have some things, some uncomfortable conversations if he gets number 5 in the finals MVP.
I mean,
that's what I'm going with.
I'm going to say this. I thought it was going to go way harder than that.
Like what?
Fuck that, because the truth is, you're right, nigga. Like, that's easy. Like, that was easy.
See, because people don't like doing that, though. You know,
and the honesty like, is, we know grail. Why. We can't say it. Like you said, I mean, Kobe is in the grill, but, like, it's because he passed away. Like,
yes.
100%. That's put a different, you know, different look on his, a different lens on his legacy. So a lot of people don't want to go there. But when you look at everything Steph accomplished, like you said, from like where he started and where he is now and what people said about him and what people expected from him and everything he's done. No, absolutely. G, if he gets 5 rings, if he gets 5 rings, that's a completely different conversation, bro.
And another finals MVP because he has to get the finals. Then he gets another finals MVP because then you tie Kobe in rings. Then you have just as many Finals MVP as Kobe, yeah. And he has won more regular season MVP than Kobe.
And since we could be mentioning Kobe, like one thing we can say is like when we talk about that all-time legacy, one thing that'll always hinder Kobe is the fact he was not only that, not even the first three. It's the fact that Kobe was more so like Mike. He mirrored his game after Mike. 100%. Where it's not a unique, that uniqueness takes you to the top. Like that unique is what's gonna put you over Kobe. Like when we talk about LeBron, LeBron was Karl Malone running point. We never seen that. Like Steph, the way he shoots the three ball, like you say, he gets five rings, he accomplished all of this. You have to put him in that upper echelon of players because we've never seen that before. Everybody's major knock is always like, you know, a team led by a smaller guard can't win you a championship. And even though, like you said, he's not a small nigga. Let's be clear.
No, he's not.
But a 6'2 point guard leading his team.
I think that nigga 6'4, bro. Like
okay.
Steph is not a little nigga.
Yeah, at all. We're not saying he's no Isaiah Thomas. You feel me?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
Accomplishing everything he has, if he gets five rings, I agree with you 100% on that. That's next level.
And I think the scary thing for a lot of Steph haters out there is it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to give him like one thing I always give LeBron credit with is it's like the Tom Brady thing where they take care of their bodies, man. Like, they take care of their bodies so well. Just like LeBron playing this well at 38, well, basically 38, is like, it's a shocker, but at the same time, with the way he takes care of his body, it really shouldn't be a shocker. Steph takes care of his body. And you can't say, and this is another thing too, Steph beat the best defense he's played in any of these finals. Like, period. This Celtics defense better than all them Cavs defenses. And I even say this Celtics defense better than the Toronto's defense. Like outside of Kawhi, the rest of the team defense, I feel like Boston was better team defensively. And so now it's like Steph, to me, that was the last monkey on his back. It's free for all now. You know what I'm saying? So that'd be the scary thing if you're a Steph hater. But to wrap that, the Steph part of it, soon we want to have some uncomfortable conversation. And I think a lot of people got to take their fan hat off sometimes when it comes to these top 10 lists. Y'all know how I feel about LeBron James. You follow me. If you listen to this podcast, anything I do, y'all know how I feel about LeBron. But I got eyes, nigga. Like, I love Kobe. Like, I love Kobe more than I love a lot of family members of mine. But player to player, LeBron James is a better player.
Yeah, but bro, we said that years ago.
Like, years ago, nigga. I've been saying this for almost a decade.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I know my cousin, who's a diehard Laker fan, is going to say I'm not a Kobe fan because me saying that I feel like it'd get hot in the kitchen and Steph wins one. But it's going to get hot in the kitchen, bro. And I'm not saying I would take Steph over him. I'm just saying we got to sit down and have some uncomfortable conversations about all three of them, not just Kobe. Oh. Mr. Irvin Magic and Mr. the Iceman, Mr. Duncan. We're gonna have a conversation about all three of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's to the point where like the game is growing so much, like I said earlier, where the conversation starts to splinter. Cause my thing with like a nigga like Tim Duncan, a nigga like LeBron James, you have to consider that longevity. It's not too many people that play 18, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20 years.
How long did TD play? 20?
No.
About 19, 20?
He played like 19, G.
Drafted in 97?
Yeah.
He did. 97. He retired in 2016. He retired the same year as Dirk.
Yeah.
So it's 2016. So about 19 years. 19
years. When you get guys playing that, you have to add that to it because of injury. Because, of, you know, a lot of players don't have that longevity. It's way more what-ifs than actual legends. You feel me? So, like, when you look at it like that, like those guys, like the conversations are really starting to splinter. And it's kind of dope because it gives us an opportunity as fans, for those of us who actually, like you said, really love ball, really do the research, really look at old things.
Not niggas who just like tweeting on NBA Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a lot. It's not a lot. But I mean, it gives you a lot to talk about. So I agree 100%.
And even like, you know, as far as the Mount Rushmore, and D-Wade said, we got to move shit over the mountain. No, we don't, nigga. Like, this thing about Mount Rushmore, I don't know if a lot of y'all live in a little country called America, but there's only four people on the fucking Mount Rushmore.
Boy, I'm so glad you said that, G. I'm so sick of people naming five, six niggas. Like, no,
four niggas, bro.
Four.
Four niggas. That's it. My four, and this is my thing about my four, because I know people are like, where you ain't got LeBron? This is why I don't have LeBron on my Mount Rushmore, and this is exactly why. Michael Jordan, self-explanatory. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, self-explanatory. I have Magic and Bird on there because we wouldn't have a goddamn NBA if it wasn't for them two. player to player, it's not even close between Larry Bird and LeBron James. Like, it's not. LeBron is better than that nigga in every facet of the fucking game. Well, Larry's a better scorer. And I know he's been a better scoring record, but you know what the fuck I mean. If anybody knows, Larry's a better scorer. But everything else, but when it comes to saving, we wouldn't have a fucking NBA if it wasn't for Magic and Larry. So just off that, I put them there. But yeah, it's not five or six people. We live in America. You niggas went to school. You niggas went, not granted, I didn't pay attention that much, but I knew that shit. That is four niggas on the fucking Mount Rushmore. But it's also, you got to look at when it comes to the Bay Area thing, where Steph stacks up in the Bay Area sports legends. Hey, man, Mr. Montana got some company, bro.
I'm about to say, it's probably Joe Willie Montana. Mays. Well, in the Bay, though? I can't put Willie in the Bay because most of his career was in New York.
That's a good point.
Like, they went there, but I can't put Willie out there. But I'll probably go. You got to go Barry. You got to go Ricky. You got to go Ricky Henderson, my nigga. You got to go Steph. Like,
Joe Cool.
Among black people, I think Joe might be fourth. But in overall,
I don't know. A lot of old heads.
You're right. Montana, a lot of old heads. They love Joe Montana. I got an uncle, and they can't stand Steve Young, ass G. And they can't stand Steve Young.
My godfather crazy. Will cut my head off if I say that Tom Brady better than this nigga. Like, a lot of old niggas love Joe Cool.
They love him. But no, as far as, like you said, as far as Bay legends, Steph definitely top five, probably top three.
Yeah.
Probably top three. Because you're going to, Ricky Henderson was literally the coolest nigga alive. So, like, it's going to take him a lot to, eclipse Ricky. But as far as everybody else, no, Steph is definitely.
But they said something. I was watching the parade today on NBA TV, and I think it was Chris Mullin said this when they were etching. Chris Mullin was like, see, the advantage that Steph has is the Warriors are the only Bay Area team that's not divided, because even with Joe Montana, you still got a lot of Raiders fans. Even with Ricky Henderson, you still got a lot of Giants fans. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little split. And the loyalty is split. So that's a good conversation. But also, the NBA is more of a global sport too, but Steph is making those rising up, man. But was there anything else you had to say about legacy before we move on to the next topic?
It's my, like I said, it's probably the last time I say this, but I apologize. Last year I was wilding a little bit, I stepped outside.
A lot of y'all niggas texted me after that play-in game last year.
You know, I'm not a habitual line stepper, but I stepped outside the line. You know, and you know, I was asking questions about my nigga Steph that I shouldn't have been asking. And somebody who's seen him play and seen the great things he's done. So nah, bro. Like I said, shout out to Steph. Like, you never, like, when, you know, the final buzzer, you never really seen that type of emotion from Steph through the first three titles. So, like, you knew, like, this shit meant something. And even, and like you said, as we head into, like, the Petty World Tour, like, he was keeping notes, my nigga. He knew who said what and what was going on. And it was like, nah, you got to tip your cap to Steph, bro. All of that, I don't want to hear no more of that old.
There's nothing else to say, bro.
You can't say anything. Like, nothing. Four rings, bro, and eight tries, 50%. You know what I'm saying? Most players don't get to that. As much as you people like this, as much as in this culture, even when you win, people want to, you know, talk about when you lose more than that. Yeah. But no, four rings, you can't shit on that. Like,
yeah, and it's like, you know, and the silence I had from my phone all weekend. Nobody. it was a beautiful thing. And somebody was like, "Y'all know it's a foreign concept to you team hopping niggas, but you know you. This is what I have showed my Steph love. I have showed what it's like to have a favorite team and a favorite player. Now, granted, if Steph and the Bulls meet, it's fuck that nigga. Okay, that's where a lot of y'all get it messed up. And also, as much as I love Steph, I will never buy a Steph Curry jersey." Unless it's like hanging up in my house when I eventually have my fucking man cave and I have like all my favorite players up there. But a lot of y'all niggas be a lot of, and you know what fan base I'm talking to. A lot of y'all niggas have y'all team, y'all here wearing these LeBron James jerseys. You will never see me walk around with a Steph Curry 30 jersey. I am loyal to my bum ass team that plays on Madison Avenue. And Steph is my nigga, it's my favorite player. So,
well, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm not loyal. I know. I'm gonna spend my money. Where the fuck I want to spend my money?
Right. I wish that I had that. I'm
not gonna lie to you. I've been looking for this Trae Young Peachtree jersey for like fucking 6 months, G. I can't find it nowhere. But no, like,
see, that's why you ain't found it. God don't like that. That's why you ain't found it.
No, if I fuck with you, I wear your jersey tomorrow. But like I said in the other pod, my only rule is I don't wear no white player jersey. That's it. That's it. That's all. But like,
that's the rule I need to adopt.
I rock the Trae Young jersey. Like I said, my Latinos, I fuck with y'all. So I got the Ronnie Acuna.
Who wants my Yoan Moncada jersey? I'm gonna put that bitch up for sale.
What? They finally put him on injury reserve. Like I told you, he was hurt.
Did long,
like a month ago. G, you could tell. Wasn't he not right?
You could tell.
We ain't gonna talk about them bum ass niggas though.
We're not gonna talk about them. Even though they are playing a little better, but anyway. Now let's talk about niggas keeping receipts. And this is what I love about. I just love shit talking. You know what I'm saying? And you know when you know, and I tweeted this yesterday. You know, we're seeing that this weekend. With a lot of people, a lot of y'all niggas got stuffed in lockers when y'all was in high school. and it's very fucking apparent. You know, how they talking too much shit. That's the point of winning, that you talk shit. And by the way, if you hear my blinds in the background, you just gonna have to get over it. It's like 95 fucking degrees in LA, and I'm not turning the fucking air on. But anyway, I know people text me about that shit. Well, I heard shit in the background. Anyway, so that's the point of winning. So you can talk shit. And so it's like, the Warriors heard everything that people said over these last three years since they lost to Toronto. Really been 3 years since they lost to Toronto. A lot of niggas were talking crazy after they lost to Toronto. You know, we don't deal with what ifs here, but a lot of niggas was acting like what happened to Clay and KD didn't happen. But there's been a lot of shit talking these last 3 years, and the Warriors took note of that. When Steph went up there and he did the eye thing, or you know, referring to what Kendrick Perkins and what Ryan Clark did on First Take at the beginning of the season, I was like, oh shit, these niggas be remembering. And even Steph took a little slight shot at Windhorst. I don't think a lot of niggas peeped. Remember Windhorst said a couple days ago, we got it, you know, they bought their championship or something, like alluding to that. And Steph was like, yeah, you know, people say we bought something. And by the way, when the fuck is it wrong for owners to spend money? Nigga, I wish that Jerry Reinsdorf and whoever other owners of teams I root for spend this money. I heard Joe Lacob and what's my man name? Gruber. What's his first name? I can't remember his name, but Gruber, he actually produced the first Batman. A lot of niggas, Peter Gruber, that's his name. Okay. Peter Gruber. And they was like, you know, this is just the beginning. We're gonna spend more money, we're gonna get more championships. Nigga, it'll be a cold day in hell for them words ever come out of Jerry Reinsdorf's mouth. So why is this a sin for owners to act like they give a fuck? And so Steph brought that up, was kind of a slight to Brian Windhorst, which y'all know Windhorst is in that clutch pocket, which I don't know how much that means either, because LeBron be opening wide up for Steph and Draymond on his timeline. Wild nasty. You got to stop that shit.
You heard niggas say he want to play with the Warriors.
Nasty. Doing the middle of the finals.
I mean, at this point, the way this era is going, that might be the ultimate scumbag move. Fuck it, LeBron. Go to the Warriors.
Steph would never allow that.
I don't think of course it's not gonna happen.
You notice like LeBron shows a lot of LeBron throws a lot of love at Steph. Steph don't
never throw it back. Right. Ever. Ever. He do not throw it back.
Steph, like, I really don't fuck with him. No.
He really be like, yeah, no, it's cool, G. You good.
Yeah. Right. I respect him. You were the best player in the game.
Yeah,
that's just like, man, fuck that nigga.
Hey, nigga, like, all right, bro, okay.
Right. So, you know, Draymond going on a tweet spree. Draymond at the parade was classic today. Just classic. And like, even the dude who was handling, he said, I'm just gonna get a mic to Draymond and get the hell out of the way.
But I was like, I've never seen a nigga intentionally curse on live TV as much as Draymond. Like,
he said, fuck, like three times.
He was like, this live TV, fuck him. Like, he kept doing it. I think he was also, I think he was pissed off the fact that they said they did the pre-recorded speeches.
Oh, yeah, those speeches couldn't have been re-recorded. They let that fly on NBA TV.
No, not those when they was running off talking to niggas. Like they had speeches at the you know how they normally have speeches at the parade. I mean, not at the parade.
Yeah, but I'm saying like the parade one, the rally, them couldn't have been pre-recorded because they let all three of them fucks go on NBA TV.
Which one? What did they have him like
they
at
was on the
actual?
Stage. Yeah. Oh. They was on the stage.
Whoa, okay. Well, they must have changed it.
You didn't see the speech? Because
remember yesterday the nigga was like. No, I did not see that one. Because you remember yesterday, the nigga was like, oh, we doing pre-recorded speeches? No, I'm going to stay at the crib.
Yeah, now that was his tweet. But remember, I think you saw the clip of him on the bus.
Yeah, I saw him on the bus, and I saw him run up on somebody outside.
Yeah, no, they had a rally before they got on the bus. So they must have changed it last minute. Because I was sitting here watching it because, if it was pre-recorded, NBA TV would have blocked that shit out. Yeah. I heard all them fucks at 11 a.m. on NBA TV. So that shit was definitely live.
Shout out to my nigga Draymond, man. Fuck.
Shout out to Draymond. And, you know, and Dre is like, you know, this is Dre to me is what Joe Kim Noah would have been if he actually would have won a championship. Like, 100%. Imagine championship 100%. Joe. It would have been the same shit. It would have been the same shit. You know what I'm saying? So that was cool to see that. And, you know, man, the back and forth with him and Ja. And I just want to say this about Ja Morant and Memphis Grizzlies. I've never had a team not liked, and them niggas became corny so fucking quick. Like, just corny. Why Ja acting like he the only hood nigga? And let's make it very clear. There's a difference here, right? There's a difference between hood nigga and a nigga that grew up in the hood. I lived in the hood for a great majority of my life. I am not a hood nigga.
Not a hood nigga.
I am not a hood nigga, okay? Ja Morant got to stop this super tough shit. This is NBA. We won't have him in the trenches. Come to the M. And Draymond like, nigga, we the champs. If anything, y'all coming to us.
But the whole thing I don't understand is like, bro, y'all are very rich. Like, why are we doing this?
Nigga,
like, why are we doing this, bro? I understand, like, being on live, drinking and all that shit, cool. That's fine. Do your thing. You grown. You at the crib. That's actually safe. That's safer than some of these dummies, you know, that be out here drinking and driving, doing wild shit. So I don't have no problem with that. But like the whole tough murder gang shit online, it's like,
you gotta stop, man.
For what?
You got a two-parent household, Mr. Morant. Just keep it a buck. You had two-parent household, bro.
Your daddy courtside every game, nigga. What's going on?
Your daddy loves you, nigga. So that, you know, get the fuck out of here. And I love Ja. And also, sometimes I gotta tell myself, this nigga's like 23. Also, you also gotta put this perspective. The nigga is a child, a very rich child, but still a child. And you ain't winning a shit talking battle with Draymond Green, dog. Like, you just not.
He just won a ring, bro.
He just won a ring. And not only did he win a ring, he beat you niggas to get to the ring. And I hate people say, well, Ja got hurt. And for you people, for the Ja got hurt crowd, you do know the Golden State Warriors won by 40 in the game that Ja went out when the game was already over. So let's just clear that out. The only reason that series went six, because they was like, y'all Desmond Bane beating us? That's exactly what, if I thought that, what you think them niggas thought? They beating us? And if you talk shit like Jaren Jackson did, you're going to get the response that you get from a Klay Thompson. And then you got these soft-ass NBA fans. I even seen a reporter say, I find it weird that you're the champions now. You're talking shit to a younger team. Get the fuck out of here, man. Talk shit. You're going to get shit talk back to you.
Yeah, bro. That's my thing. Like, if I'm the champ, I can say literally whatever I want to say. Like,
yeah.
Especially, you got to think, the one thing we have to admit, half of the NBA media was like damn near laughing in the Warriors' face these last couple of years. Like, there haven't been hella injuries that have took them to that point. Bro. It was one thing if they just fell apart, but everybody was, you know, on the old, we're jump shooting, ain't gonna do this, ain't gonna do that. When the Warriors went down, everybody was suddenly just like, you know, laughing, like, oh, well, Steph Curry can't do this, Steph Curry can't do that. Oh, well, look at the Warriors now. But it's like they said, like Steph said, it's crazy because he said it in the post-game interview their last game last season. He said, y'all don't want to see us next year.
Y'all don't want to see us again. And Draymond told you niggas back in November on his show, don't let us win a championship.
Bro, the crazy shit is, like, the window's wide open. Like,
and that's a perfect segue. I just want to say that before we get to that is this. And it's the same thing we talk about Steph. Now also kind of relates to LeBron. LeBron is most hate out of any player in NBA history. I don't think there's ever been a player that's been as beloved, as hated as LeBron James was. But people don't like winners. This is keep it a buck. Not just in sports, but in life.
Life.
Think about. Look, Drake was the people's champion when he was making songs with Little Brother. When he was making songs with Little Brother, and he had So Far Gone. He the people's champion. The minute this nigga got so much money and so much success that you can't relate to, oh, fuck that nigga, who he think he is. Regular people, and I know people like, Scott, you regular? Yeah, I am, for now. But I'm
momentarily, I'm, nigga.
Momentarily.
We on our way.
My number will not be the same in T-minus 24 months, okay? So and enjoy your access to me while you have this. But what I'm saying is, people like when you win once or twice. When you have sustained excellence, then they want you to lose. Like, why? Remember, everybody hated Kobe and Shaq Lakers. Why? Because they won all the goddamn time. People hate LeBron. Why? Because he fucking wins. Because he's still on top. It's been 20 years. This nigga's still good. That type of shit. Why do people, Tom Brady this. He had a MAGA hat in his fucking locker. You know how many fucking niggas in the NFL probably got that?
It's like, fuck out of here. He had the hat because that's his boy. Then Trump started wilding.
Wife told him, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I'm about to say that. And he is also amazing at his job, bro. So
yeah, he's the greatest quarterback ever. That ain't got shit. Like, when you get to that amount of stuff, people can't relate. You know what I'm saying? Look at what you're 50. Remember 50 was a mixtape champ. They loved him. When that nigga did 11 million with Masca,
yeah.
Oh, fuck 50. Yeah, yeah. He'll sell out. Anybody want to hear that? He don't make street music no more.
Right. When he officially became a villain, nigga, and embraced that role, now he the police. Like,
look at, listen to Ball Don't Lie right now. We're the People's Champ podcast right now. But if I'm next, when we get JJ Redick on here like a couple years, and I'm actually able to have a sit down with Steph, man, fuck Scott Dodger. This nigga sold out.
Oh,
this nigga Scott. That's, you know, that I'm already expecting. This is definitely gonna come to me because I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah,
and that's the worst thing because whatever. But people don't like that amount of winning, man. And this, like, into segue into our next topic about how you just said they might be getting into another run, and that's very scary for niggas. They're adapting I can't even say San Antonio Spurs method anymore, because Spurs only won one championship when they added Kawhi, because Kawhi got hurt and then Kawhi left. But I got a better comparison. The Golden State Warriors are now in the process of becoming the NBA's New England Patriots. Look at the six championships that Tom Brady won. There was two different eras. The first era, Brady was good first three championships, but the defense was stellar. That's the Teddy Bruschi, the Willie McGinnis, the Ty Law, the Rodney Harrison, even offensive side. The Corey Dillon, a lot of niggas think Corey Dillon got a Super Bowl in 2004. Corey Dillon, the Deion Branches, that era was the first era of New England Patriots football. Remember, they went through a drought, made a couple Super Bowls, lost. Nigga was like, Tom Brady's never going to win the Super Bowl again. Same shit they were saying about Steph. And then he comes back, he beats the Seahawks, and he grabs another three. With the reloaded team, now you got the Gronk era, the Julian Edelman era, whoever the other niggas were on defense. I forgot a lot of their names right now, but there was a new era of New England Patriot football, and you're seeing the same thing here with the Warriors. And so it's based on the four of, not really the four, the three of them, because Andre Iguodala is like the Warriors Udonis Haslam. So to me, if you look at what they're doing, it's like that. And now they've got the Young Bucks. Andrew Wiggins was so fucking great in this final. Andrew Wiggins is the second best player on the Warriors right now. Until if Clay ever does become Clay again, Andrew Wiggins is the second best player on the Warriors. And then you've got, the Jordan Pools. You got the Kamingas is coming. Moody's coming. And James Wiseman has the easiest job ever next year. All he's got to do is be a slightly better version of Kevon Looney. And you got Steph, who keeps himself in great shape. They could break off a couple more. I'm not going to say they're going to repeat next year. It's way too early to call. But they're right now, they're the favorites. And they're going to be in the conversation for the next couple of years.
Yes, bro. Because, the main thing is you expect more from Klay in year two than you did in year one. So if you get him to return more to form, you're absolutely right. You're talking about a team that's deadly. You know what I'm saying? So, no, I agree with that 100%. And so my main thing is, that's why when we talked about, in our previous arguments about what Steph's legacy is going to be and, where he is right now, it's really one of those points where, we have those conversations for the sake of what the current sports media landscape is, and we have to have these current all-time talks. But the reality is the shit is not over. And the scary part about Steph for a lot of other people is that it's far from over. Because like you said, they reload the right way. You have a fucking team that's ready to spend money. What if they go spend a crazy bag and keep a great team around Steph? If they able to do that, bro, the amount of rings that this team is able to win is fucking limitless. And so we talk about Klay. We talk about everything Klay's been through, everything Klay is coming back from. So you still got to wait on him. Like you said, I really think year two, you get a much better Klay. With Draymond, he was injured a lot this year. I think with him being hurt like that, with the injuries he possessed, you still have opportunity for growth from this team, and that's scary for the rest of the league.
Yeah, it's scary. And now, I think Steph said, he was telling people at the podium after game six, was let's get greedy. And that's what's it right now. Let's run the fucking score up.
He got four. What if he gets 6-7, G?
Yeah.
Like, hypothetically.
Hey, man, look.
Because one thing I say about the modern NBA landscape, if you got an owner that says,
fuck it,
fuck the luxury tax,
yeah,
bro, they can go.
Bro, they were $50 million over the cap.
And he don't give a fuck.
He said it at the parade today. He went up there and he was like, nigga, I don't give a fuck. He said, yo, we got more shit coming. I'm spending more money. I don't give a damn. And I didn't know that both of them were from Boston either. Like that shit was kind of funny when he went up there. He said, in the garden.
Like, I don't know whether to love it or hate it, because I like fuck Boston, but you're right. You're absolutely right. I don't know which way to go with it, but I feel you.
So it's like, you know, that's the shit you want in sports. It's like, let's get greedy. And it's like, if they did get that amount of number, like the only nigga who saved is Jordan because undefeated. But it's like, rest you niggas.
Yeah, and like, first, I don't like going on these tangents, but Nick Wright's a fucking clown.
Let's get into it. This is final episode.
He's a fucking clown, bro. Like when he sat there and said all that dumbass shit today about all the people that won ring. First of all, if you count anything in Michael Jordan's Wizards era as, you know, Mike's reign, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Everybody knows when we really had this conversation, it's about the prime of your career. It's about when you were at the peak of your powers, you went to the finals, what the fuck happened? Mike went 6-for-6. Like, nobody else has done that. Stop it.
He said, what did he say? Larry Bird, Magic, Aiden.
He said Larry, Drexler, Isaiah, like all this clown shit.
It's not the Jordan era. It's the Magic and Bird era. Okay,
like a clown.
He's a clown. I can say all day about shit about Nick Wright, but you know, whatever. But it could get dark for niggas, and then there's really gonna be some, like I keep saying, difficult conversations that we're going to fucking have. And you know, it's gotta. And I saw Alex Caruso today, which hilarious. Alex Caruso said he's watched The Parade and it made him hot, and then Kyle Kuzma retweeted, said we didn't even have one. I think that's like the and that's just like, and I respect LeBron obviously, but I'm gonna always throw that shit in his fan base. Be like, you niggas, show me the parade footage. Show me the parade footage. All there was people in the stands for all four of these niggas' championships. All four. But
big fact.
But let's go over to the losers of this championship. That is the Boston Celtics, man. The Celtics had a hell of a run. One of the best runs from worst to first in NBA history. You know, going about 6 games under 500 to moving right back. If you're watching on the Patreon, we have a couple technical difficulties with the last episode. Whatever.
Fuck
it. You know what I'm saying? Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? If you're a fan of this network, you know what to expect from us by now. My question is, Jayce Tatum had a terrible NBA Finals, and I think this is the worst NBA Finals performance I've seen since LeBron in 2011. I was going to say Wade in 2014, but that nigga's knees disintegrated, so I give him a pass. 2011, this is the worst performance I've seen in the Finals since 2011, because even when, you know, you can say James Harden, but James Harden wasn't the number one on that team in 2012. KD and Russell Westbrook had great series. And I actually think Russ was really good in that series. KD and Russ did their part. But it was just god awful. But I'm not gonna say I'm done giving negative comments about Jason Tatum. I actually like Jason Tatum. We reviewed his membership with the LSS. We're just gonna put him on a temporary suspension, but his membership will not be canceled. He has a chance to redeem himself next year. So I looked out for you, Jason. My question to you,
okay,
how can only 24 years old, how can he learn from this and be better?
I mean, that's the main thing, his age. Yeah. When you really look at it, like a lot of the attention we put on it and a lot of the reasons we went really hard on Jason is because of the Kobe factor. Because of the fact that he he's a Kobe guy, and you posting the text messages, you wearing his draft day outfit and shit. Oh, when you doing all of that, we're gonna put that on it. But the reality is he's 24 years old, you know what I'm saying? Yep. No matter how hard people go on him, he has a lot of basketball left in his career. And so, you know, the sky's really the limit for Jason Tatum. And I think as far as how does Jason learn from this, is it really, you know, the same way Kobe learned from the air balls in Utah. If you want to be that guy, you know what I'm saying, you say you emulate Kobe, you know, Kobe's your idol. Look at how he grew from that and then what his career became. So it's like, you lost, but at the same time, you young as hell. You have a lot of basketball in front of you. You have a team that's equipped to, you know, compete for the Eastern Conference every year. I won't say a title because I still think they need a little something extra on the offensive side. But when you have all that in front of you, it's really a matter of does he take this and grow from it? And I think he will. I definitely think he will.
Yeah, shout out to Jason Tatum's dad, which I didn't know the nigga had one around. He posted one on IG, you know, saluting his son. That wouldn't even make a good joke. I was just dead ass. So.
No, it's funny because they always only show that white woman, and we
right,
never
knew. That's what I'm saying. Or shout out to Damian. Damian said that Italia Blue was Jason Tatum's mom. We letting all the shit. It's the last episode, man. We all our professionalism was going out the fucking window, man. Fuck it. Well, shout out to his dad. I didn't know that nigga was around, but shout out to him. It was a recent picture from the East Coast Finals. Maybe that nigga was like here in the cut. I did not know.
I respect it, right?
I respect it. But you know, David Tatum, just learn from it, bro. You say you want to be like Kobe, do what Kobe would do. Take you about a week break and get right back to it. And don't be like Anthony Davis, where they saying he ain't dribbled a ball since fucking April. You know what I'm saying? Go out, get right back into it. Embrace this loss. Think about this loss. Let this loss feed you to where the point where you're so, you know, focused next year. And I don't, the regular season is not the issue. We know Tatum going to do his thing in the regular season. You know what I'm saying? When you get, you know, when it comes back to, you guys are going to be, they're going to be in the mix next year. When it comes to you having to line back up with Giannis, line back up with KD, you know, if KD is even there, we don't know what his team going to look like, but you know, when it comes to the top Eastern Conference teams, be ready to take them out. Take what you learned and go for it. You know, and he's 24. I'm not saying they'll be back. I don't think they're gonna be back, but learn from it. That's all I gotta say for Jason Tatum. And I saw Rich Eisen. I love Rich Eisen. He's one of my media idols. You know what I'm saying? He said that we're riding Jason Tatum to a pause. Yeah. Number one, number two. Yeah. No, we're not. Like, you got to take a lot of the fucking blame, bro. That's what happens when you're the best player on the team. When you win, if they'd have won, everybody would be on Jason Tatum dick right now. It'd be like, is he the best forward in the league? Is Kevin Durant washed? Oh, and, yeah. And I actually kind of feel bad for KD, because win or lose, he was going to get slandered. No matter who won this finals, he was going to get slandered. And the good thing about KD that I will say, I truly believe KD don't give a fuck. Like, I don't feel like KD is in his apartment like, I got to one-up Steph.
Gee. One of the funniest things one of my homies ever said to me, he was like, nigga, KD is you. He said, KD like smoking weed. KD like smoking weed. KD like social media. KD like being on Twitter. KD like sports. Yeah. That's it, bro. Like, it just so happens he's one of the greatest hoopers to ever live. Like, if the man didn't have that talent, KD would be your best friend, nigga. Like, that's really what it comes down to. So I agree with you with that. Like, KD, he don't care, bro. Like, as much as we talk about it, and the fact that he gets on Twitter and gets in these conversations with us.
He don't give a shit.
A lot of other athletes won't do that because they actually care. Like, they getting their feelings about the shit. Like, I really think bro be sitting there hitting the blunt, laughing while he's tweeting this shit at niggas. Like, he don't give a fuck.
He be trolling. Did you see he retweeted Skip the other day about what Stephen A said about Skip? He said, sources say somebody lying. Like, KD be in his fucking apartment in Brooklyn. Bro. High. Yeah.
Nigga be on the 96th floor in Manhattan somewhere. He don't give a fuck.
Hi, nigga. That nigga, he probably don't even know Kyrie damn near asked for a trade right now. Like, he probably, nigga probably just woke up like 2 minutes ago.
Nigga gonna come down on Thursday like, wait, what happened?
What? And nigga gonna call Sean Marks like, nigga, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? But, and I really, like, people's like, oh, KD, he's insecure. I don't believe that. I believe KD is very secure with his legacy. I think KD, like, nigga, facts, I got my shit. I got my two finals MVP. I'm an MVP. I'm one of the baddest motherfuckers to ever lace up. Y'all can't say shit about me, but I'm sitting here tweet up with you niggas. And I really want KD to bust LeBron. My favorite LeBron moment ever is when he called us broke-ass niggas. Like, I love that shit. You know what I'm saying? KD just like, yeah, you can say about my legacy, but you got to go work tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to go to Target, and they got to tell you, yo, there's a cleanup on aisle five.
Yeah. I'm here. I mean, he hinted on that. He hinted at that when niggas called him ashy. He was like, I'm gonna pull my y'all broke card in a minute. Like,
yeah, you still need lotion.
I agree with you, bro.
That's you still need lotion, my nigga. That wasn't just like a little ash, nigga. That was like,
I ain't seen
a bottle of lotion in a decade. Like,
fuck y'all.
But last thing about the Celtics this offseason, to me, they don't have to make too many tweaks. They need a fucking point guard. That should be the number one. I think they do this offseason, whether through trade. It's probably going to have to be trade. I don't know what point guard is available free agency-wise, and you're not going to bring Mahatma Kyrie back. You're definitely not doing that shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know who the fuck you're going to get, but you need to go out there and get you a fucking point guard. I like Marcus Smart. He's not a fucking point guard. You know what I'm saying? He's not. That was the biggest problem why their offense was bad. They ain't got nobody rolling the offense. Like, of course, the Bulls offense looked way nastier than the Celtics. But when Lonzo left, nigga, there was nothing. When Lonzo was there, there was ball movement. There was easy baskets. Yeah. Guys were open. He left, nothing. So that's what the Celtics do to me. Get him. I would get a backup center, to help out. Robert Williams. Robert Williams was amazing, even though he was on one leg. Once that kid gets healthy, the sky's the limit. But you need somebody to bounce up because Al Horford ain't finna have this year next year.
No.
That shit's just not gonna happen. Two niggas who not gonna have years ahead this year. Al Horford and DeMar DeRozan. That shit is not happening next year. Like, at all.
Yeah. All NBA. No, I agree 100%. I think with Boston, that point guard position, because you had too many moments, even though we talk about, I think Tatum played the most minutes of anybody in the playoffs. He had damn near the most points and assists too. But you're right, he had the most turnovers.
Hey, man, the Grace got to wear it, G. Niggas said KD had no hole for a full summer, bro.
No, that's facts though. You got to put that in there. You got to factor that. But I mean, like, you need somebody that's able to distribute and like say, hey, you do this, you do that, because you got two great players in Tatum and Brown. Like, yeah. even though, you know, we all say, you know, Brown's the best nigga on that team, and that may be true. But
I don't think he's right. He got that dog in him. You know the dog, you know what I mean?
Certain players rise to the occasion, certain players don't. And, like, not saying Taylor won't grow to that, but at this point, we've seen Brown with the shits. And so, like, you need, like, that point guard. He said somebody who could sit there and really just set a table setter. It's like, nah, you here right now, you here right now. This is the way the game is going. So, I mean, like you said, right now, I'm not really sure who that person is, but I agree. That's need number one for Boston.
Yeah. I want Jason Tatum this summer to look in the mirror and tell himself, I got locked up by a nigga who drinks bag milk. Repeat that to yourself over and over again, and don't ever allow that shit to happen to you again. Let's wrap this episode up, guys. Just a couple more topics. NBA season recap. Season's over. 21-22. Campaign. Overall, I thought it was a very entertaining season. It's very hard to get engaged in the long 82-game season with the NBA, kind of like the MLB. Like, I really don't get locked in with baseball until after All-Star break. There's too many goddamn games. But this was an entertaining season. It was a lot of individual things that was dope. It was, you know, seeing Steph break the record, you know, seeing Tatum's rise, seeing Luka. You know, Luka, you know, went from, oh, Luka can't win a playoff series, making it all the way to the conference finals. Seeing Luka's growth, you know what I'm saying? Seeing, Giannis being Giannis again, you know what I'm saying? And that type of shit was fun. Seeing the young Memphis Grizzlies get up there to see what they're doing in Minnesota. I thought it was entertaining. I thought the playoffs were entertaining for the most part. The conference finals is probably the worst conference finals I've watched maybe ever, but as a whole, I thought the playoffs was plenty entertaining. And I thought the finals was entertaining, man. So I get the regular season. I get a season in general. Probably B. I was highly entertained.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I go with a B. Like I said, outside of the injuries, which are really upsetting because that just takes away from the total product. Yeah. I think you still had, you know, with all of the shit basketball you had mixed in, as we got toward the end of the season when it really mattered in the playoffs, you got a lot of good basketball over bad. You know, like I said, the injuries take away, but I was still overall satisfied, and I think where we're headed going forward, we always talk about the league being in good hands. I think this is one of those playoffs that shows you, no, the league is really in good hands.
The young niggas are here.
Yeah, even though we talk about, you know, like you said, look who everybody that Steph and them had to go through. Like,
yeah.
every you know, to get into the finals, with Boston getting there, a young team like that, Udoka's a first-year coach. So, like you said, the league is in great hands, bro. And so, like I said, my main disappointment was the injuries, but I can still say overall I was satisfied with the season. Yeah.
And Udoka got outcoached, but Juneteenth was yesterday, so I'm letting it rock.
He still went home to knee along. He won.
Yeah, at the end of the day, who won?
God bless you, brother.
Who won? I'm up here talking about him, and knee along is probably playing in the nigga head right now.
Like, hey, like, I'm going to say, won. Hey, nigga, hold your head. You'll be all right.
She holding his head.
Right.
Lucky niggas. But anyway, couple off-season notes before we wrap this up. A lot of rumors. We're in rumor season right now. Yeah, and by the way, if there's some big off-season shit, we'll do emergency pods if it requires to do an emergency
pod. If not, nigga, leave us alone.
Yes. Yeah, and most you'll get a couple tweets, but if it's something massive, you might get that. But Rule Mill starting, Kyrie Irving is at an impasse with the Brooklyn Nets. You know, Sham said out that if he doesn't go back to Brooklyn, the Lakers and the Knicks can be kept. I'm just so tired about the goddamn Lakers. With what cap room are they going to get Kyrie Irving? And on what planet do you think that Kevin Durant wants to sign and trade to bring back Russell Westbrook?
Listen to me.
Wake the fuck up.
Shit like this is the same way that the Kardashians have been profiting off Black Rage.
Yes.
They know you niggas are going to retweet anything about the Lakers. Not going to happen. It's not feasible. Like, it's no way for this shit to fucking happen.
The Lakers couldn't sign me right now if they wanted to.
And the people will sit here and still be like, damn, G, you know they might do it. Like, you know it might happen. Like, no, I don't know. Because it ain't going to fucking happen. Like, it's dumb.
It's stupid, man. And by the way, I'm sick and tired of everything Kyrie Irving, but this nigga's not going. They probably arguing about years, and KD gonna come there once he gets out of whatever weed he's smoking right now. You gonna go to Sean Marks, you gonna tell him, I want that nigga back. And that's the end of the fucking discussion.
Did you see that shit he tweeted? Buddy from The Wire?
Yeah, the brother Mazoon give.
I was like, all right, Kyrie, stop.
All right, Kyrie.
Stop.
Nigga in there playing with chakras or some shit like that, man. Like, the Brooklyn Nets is a very unlikable team outside of KD. Really aligned himself with bozos, bro. Like, with
it's crazy.
You left Steph Curry, Bay Area, and you want, I know you want to be a podcast, but they got tech shit out there to go to New York and the second most important team in basketball in New York to team up with Bozo, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons.
Bro, could have stayed in the Bay blowing gas, winning championship. Shit crazy.
Bad decision making, man. Don't make
no sense.
In our neck of the woods, the Chicago Bulls have been linked to one Rudy Gobert. One of this came from Matt Moore, who writes for Action Sports Network. He said on a podcast today that all the things he's hearing is that Rudy Gobert is going to be a Chicago Bull. And then Mark Stein said in his weekly notebook or whatever, or mailbag or whatever, that he doesn't know if Rudy Gobert is getting traded, but if he does, he thinks it'll be the Chicago Bulls. So where there's smoke, there's usually fire, but always with prefaces with this when it comes to Arturas Karnasovas and Mark Eversley with the way they move. Usually when niggas have fire over there and you say, look over here, you should probably look the other way. That's probably the real way that Mark and AK are looking. A lot of their moves usually come out of nowhere. So I will say this. I have no problem with Rudy Gay on the Bulls. I think Rudy Gay fits a big need for the
Gobert. I do not want Rudy Gay. Rudy Gobert.
I said Rudy Gay. I cannot wait to for that. Rudy Gobert. You know what I'm saying? Rudy Gobert is, I think, fits this team perfectly. I don't give a fuck about his contract. Why? I'm not paying it. So I don't give a damn about that. I think it would be good. I'm officially off the Patrick Williams is untradeable boat. I am off it. It took me a while, but I'm here. I'm not on it no more.
Welcome, brother. Welcome. We got snacks over to the left. We got drinks over there. Come on, my nigga.
I'm officially off that boat. So if that's what it takes to get Rudy Gobert, go ahead and do it. I'm fine with it either way, but I don't know if that happens. But I do think the AK got some moves on this league.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, the way they've been moving these last few years, when you see any team that flips 96% of the roster in a year and a half, anything is possible. Like, literally, like, no, I don't think there are only a few players who are quote unquote untouchable. And this one's probably, you know, Zach and DeMar shit. Like, most of
and
these
now,
guys,
let's keep it buck. The only reason DeMar is untouchable is because it would be bad optics to trade him after you signed him.
Trade a nigga after you signed him and he made all NBA. Like, no. But everybody, even though it's kind of bad optics, if you trade Vooch and he helped you recruit DeMar, but that's
it's not as bad as DeMar because DeMar would had a phenomenal year.
Yeah, like, and it depends on who you replace him with.
Niggas be kind of understand, like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, like I said, I think, you know, with this team, like, when you and like one thing I will say about AKME, we never know their moves, but we do know like the statements they make as far as like who they think the Bulls are on a global scale, or who they think the Bulls are as far as winning championships, that dictates the moves they make. Like, they said that when they first got there, and then they flipped the whole roster. Yep. And then this offseason, you hear them say, hey, well, we need more. Like, no, like, making the playoffs.
AK said, this shit ain't enough, bro. Like, I want to win a championship. That's what you want to hear from your GM.
So that's why I think, like, any like, literally anybody who's disgruntled or, like, any superstar that may want to make a move, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bulls, like, made that call. Like, even Well, no, no, Kyrie's just a nut.
No.
But anybody
drop a team, let Kyrie Irving come to fucking Madison. Nigga, I dropped the bull so fast.
Nigga gonna try to sage the West Side. Like, no. Get this nigga out of here.
And nigga eat Vice Lord burgers. I mean, you trying to fucking sage shit up, man. Fuck out of here. I mean, yeah, now we'll see what happens, man. I'm not even really thinking about the NBA right now. We got like 2 minutes left, and I will not be thinking about the NBA for a minute. Big offseason prediction. Last topic.
Well, I'll say this. I think the Utah Jazz might trade Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. I think they might start completely over because the thing is, Donovan Mitchell ain't who y'all say he is. Like, no, I'm a stand on this hill until he proved me wrong. Like, he's not the guy y'all say he is.
He's a Mormon Monte in the words of Damian.
Everybody loves saying, oh, he's the next Dwayne. No, the fuck he ain't. That he is not. Do not disrespect Dwayne Wade like that. I know y'all don't like the nigga now, but don't disrespect Dwayne like that, bro. Like, that's great.
He wearing lime green tank tops out here with Gabby?
Because he wear lime green and let his kid be his kid? Like get the fuck
okay,
out of here.
Okay, it's time to wrap this episode up.
it's not summer sessions, my bad. But no.
Oh man, the thoughts and views of this podcast do not affect the views of the Barber Chat Network.
No, but like no, y'all niggas is weird. Let that man be himself. But no, they're gonna trade both of them. That's my bold prediction for the offseason. They're gonna trade both of them.
My bold prediction is for the first time in a while, there will be no major domino that falls this offseason. That's my prediction. I think we'll see a lot of minor moves. I think the biggest names you probably will see get moved are like, you know, Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell. I don't think you're going to see a big domino drop. But I will say this. If there's a big domino that gets dropped, if it doesn't happen this offseason, we are a year away from Joel Embiid demanding a trade. I truly believe that. I think that's the next disgruntled star coming on the block, and the Bulls need to be prepared for that. But
yeah, I agree with that, bro. Because I think with Embiid, like, he's the one guy who, like, he has to get in a couple of healthy years before he demands a trade. Like,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
Definitely possible. So I
a lot
see
of
that.
Niggas who still give what they want for Embiid. But you're right about that. But we are done. This is episode 165. I want to give a shout out to everybody who's listened,
watched.
Who has retweeted, done anything to support not just the Barber's Chat Network, but this podcast. This is episode 165. You know to follow me on Twitter at Barber's Chat Scott. You know to follow Dante at October Zone Tay. Dante will still be holding down on the baseball coverage for us. You know, look out for that. MLB All-Star coming up next month. We got a couple announcements coming, and you know, we got a lot of shit brewing at the Barber's Chat Network. You know, me, Dante, Flows, Pierce, we're working on a lot of shit for y'all coming up. So look forward to that. Summer Sessions will be back this Thursday. I'm Not Gonna Hold You season finale will be dropping this week. And we're going to be taking a hiatus, couple month hiatus until the football season starts. But I have an announcement regarding some off-season content I have for y'all. So check that out. Any final words you got to say to people before we get up out of here?
Nah, bro. Like you said, I still be holding it down on the baseball side. Check out my baseball podcast, High Down Side, every Sunday live on Facebook. I know Facebook is usually for old niggas, but you know we're reaching out to a different market. So yeah, fuck with me on Facebook.
Old niggas watch sports too.
Exactly. Fuck with me on Facebook, and then, like you said, me. Shout out to our bro Mikey, bro. Hold your head,
shout
Mikey.
Shout out to Mikey. Like, hold your head, bro.
Yeah, like we definitely gonna get that bike rolling. And yeah, like I said, just look out for it because we got a lot of shit coming. A lot of good things coming.
Summer content on Barber's Chat Network. You're gonna have 40-40 Club, of course. Me and Pierce be talking about baseball. He gonna be back soon. You know, Mikey's dealing with some personal stuff, so once all that gets cleared up, we'll be back. Not like the White Sox are doing anything of noteworthy for us to be talking about any goddamn way. Summer Sessions at the very minimum will be dropping bi-weekly. We're gonna try our hardest to do weekly for y'all. But at the very least, it's going to be bi-weekly, new episode this week. Me and Flows will be doing a lot of cinema with the guys. Check out our Obi-Wan season recap that's dropping this week. We're going to do some Miss Marvel content next week. Me and Dante will be breaking down the House of Dragon in August, so look out for that. Of course, Thor drops in a couple weeks. We're going to have a Thor breakdown. We might do a Top Gun breakdown. So we got a lot of stuff. Just bear with us. It might be about a two-week dry period, but we're getting stuff going on. We appreciate y'all. And check out for announcements we got next week, man. We are out.